It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this penultimate day of May, 2023. It is the 30th day of May, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round is whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the program. Hi, I'm Robin. And, well, if you go by the aforementioned Merry, Wacky, Zany, etc., you'll be greeted at this point in time by early arrivers Anatole and New Jersey Nick and Squeaky and Theo. Hey, gang. And capably, incapably moderated by me, hence the incapable. I know Roger's out today. He's got he's teaching his pickling class. Save me the pickle juice, Roger. I still love pickle juice. I don't feel quite so inclined to just guzzle it anymore. But no, I do. Love me some pickle juice. But anyway, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so I'm double-checking, but I don't think we've got... Yes, we do. Yes, thank you to Dave in the blind. Thank you so much for being there. So that got us down to 1580. Fundraising goal is $1,580 to finish, well, it's actually counting tomorrow, 1880, but 1580 today to try to finish May fully funded. So that's today, yesterday, Friday, Thursday, and I miscalculated somewhere. But anyway, it's 1580. And I hope we can knock some of it out because it makes things so much more difficult. I really wanted to because I hate to let my siblings down. I wanted to be in Charleston tomorrow evening, specifically for the purpose of showing my and our displeasure at the arrival of Dave effing Chappelle in my state's capital city. But I think I'm going to reach out instead. I'll be here. I'm going to reach out and see if maybe they'll one of the protesters will give us a call and just talk a little bit about who was there, what was going on, you know, little spot reporting, you know. I think that could be good. And that way we'll be able to have a show on the 31st. But one thing I did want to do is go ahead and do our Patreon thank yous, just in case I do get to go down. To Charleston. And so, oh, let's see. Thank you to Theo, and thank you to Randy Radar, and thank you to Christopher, and Troy, and Janice. David up in Oregon. Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Jake. Thank you to Nancy, and thank you to Bernadette. Thank you to Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Baltimore Bob. Thanks to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you to Andrea. And thank you to James. Thank you to Aaron and Annette. Thank you to Joanne. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, KW. Thank you to Barb. Thank you to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you, Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you, one and all. We have precisely 30 Patreon subscribers. And I am grateful indeed for each and every one, as I am grateful for each and every PayPal subscriber. And I can never thank you all enough, as well as our a la carte contributors who keep this program on the air. Because it's amazing, frankly. As my return to broadcasting becomes 20 years now, which boggles my mind. Just a couple of things right off the bat. If you're listening to the podcast, please like it and subscribe to it on whatever platform you listen to. Leave a comment, please. That's really helpful. And hopefully we will keep all of this going. It's always been a month to month thing, sometimes a week to week and day to day thing. But here we are. Indeed, here we are. Just a couple of dumb things real quick. So I get these emails from various sources. And one of them is Talkers Magazine. It's an industry publication about people who do what I do. And given the nature of the United States of America, the vast majority of people who are pitching their shows there are of necessity right wing. But I think you're going to like this one. This is a bought and paid for ad. Todd Starnes Show. Miss Rush, we do too. Give our show a listen, 140 stations and growing. Not to put too fine a point on it or anything, but Todd Starnes is, without a doubt, absolutely, completely, totally, undeniably, indubitably unlistenable. Oh, God, he's so awful. But imagine paying for an ad in Talkers Magazine. Miss Rush. Miss Rush. Miss Rush. Miss Rush. How are you liking the pineapples, Miss Rush? Oh, that's not what they mean. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that was just a silly thing that I saw and I thought I would share with y'all because I thought it was cute. I mean, not cute. More like hilarious. My friends, he's still dead. Miss Rush. We do too. So I wonder what, I mean, what are those 3 hours like, apart from being unlistenable? Just, do they just sit around and mope about, oh, Miss Rush, I do too. I'm so sorry, him dead. Him dead. Me sorry. Oi. And help me with this, please. I've been seeing stories over the last 2 or 3 days, and I honestly don't understand. Why does anybody give a tinker's damn what happens to Elizabeth Holmes? She reported to a prison camp today in some forlorn and godforsaken place called Bryan, Texas. After having been convicted of an entire raft of charges of defrauding investors through a startup called Theranos. The theory behind Theranos was that, or so they said, and how anybody could get suckered into this, I have no idea. This just sounds so absolutely impossibly dumb. That a simple drop of blood would tell you everything that was wrong with you. But there, but she's going to do 11 years at this club fed. For having ripped off, but that's what it is, isn't it? She ripped off the money. She convinced a bunch of really rich people to give her a lot of money so she could be really rich too. And you can't do that in America. You just can't do that. And she tried everything under the sun to stay out of prison. Ultimately, it failed. All her efforts were for naught. And oddly enough, she made a motion before the judge to stay out on bail while her conviction is appealed. And here's the damnedest thing: the appeals court said, no, you're going to prison. You've been tried and convicted by a court of competent jurisdiction, convicted by a jury of your peers. It's time to go. You'll pardon me if I'm suddenly reminded of the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Stevie Three Shirts, who is still walking around free, even though he engaged in felony level contempt of Congress, was convicted and tried and convicted, and no big whoop. Of course, he was also pardoned for a scam not that far different from, say, Elizabeth Holmes. He was ripping off investors who were buying into his idea that, we're gonna build Trump's wall. Yeah, we're gonna do that. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And didn't. But, well, no prison yet for Stevie Three Shirts. But see ya, Elizabeth Holmes. Don't rip off the billionaires, honey. They will bust your ass for that. And I'm in no wise defending her, but I'm trying to figure out how this unequal system of justice works. Why it is that she went to prison while her case is under appeal, but racist Bannon has not. Is it because she's a woman? Is it because she's not a maggot? I'm sort of confused. People are trying to put a brave face on the fact that she's going to Club Fed. CNN had a pettifogger by the name of Mark McDougall, who specializes in white-collar crime and the defense thereof. He's also a former federal prosecutor. And he said, I think people who talk about Camp Fed have never actually been inside a federal correctional institution. It's not a place where people would want to spend time if they could be somewhere else. Yeah. Please remember, West Virginia's own Donnie Blankenswine went to a Club Fed in California for a few months, not 11 years, mind you, just for a few months after the manner in which he ran his coal company resulted in 29 human beings being incinerated past the point of being recognizably former human. And it was, that was some hard time for poor Donnie. Mark McDougall, white-collar defense lawyer, said she will have no privacy. She will share a four-bunk dormitory room with communal bath facilities. She'll have to work for anything from 12 cents to $1.15 per hour. She'll have to wear khaki pants and a khaki shirt. And she can't wear any jewelry except for a plain wedding band or a religious medallion without stones. And neither one of them can be worth more than $100. Yeah, McDougall said, I expect she would be teaching in some fashion. That's a very common occupation for inmates who have some education. Because Elizabeth Holmes dropped out of Stanford when she was 19 because she was going to found her dream company and be a billionaire. So if you've got any thoughts on this, let me know. I don't know why people care as much about it as they do. Look at me. I think I just spent 10 minutes talking about something I don't give a shit about. But I guess the bottom line is I really would like to see Steve Bannon go to the joint. And I don't know why he isn't. Oh, and a little piece of shitty news for the weaker speaker to get us started this evening. Kevers McCarthy, the man of silly putty, is down one Republican. Very soon. A maggot by the name of Chris Stewart from Utah is going to bail on Congress. Reporting has it that he's leaving Congress because of the grave illness that his wife is suffering. I confess I read this story and I went, what? He's a maggot Republican white guy? And he didn't get caught raping children? Well, you know, I guess we're making progress. Okay, back to Elizabeth Holmes for a minute. Oh, come on, Robin, says Brother Deacon Asa. She's a pharma celebrity. She's the Bonnie to pharma bro Martin Shkreli's Clyde. You just don't understand celebrity culture. I guess I don't. But God, Martin Shkreli is Clyde? And her is Bonnie? It's not bad, Brother Deacon. Not bad at all. Where's a girl's cowbell when she needs it? the emergency backup cowbell. I think Randy Radar's right. I need to put an air tag on the original cowbell. I try to keep it close at hand here, but it just doesn't seem to happen that way. Chris Stewart is leaving Congress. And he was at one point in time quite the up-and-comer. Everybody assumed that maybe next year he would be the one who would be challenging Bishop Willard Romney for his Senate seat because Willard's too liberal. Yeah, right. So the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, will have to call a special election and... So once he leaves, the Republican majority will be down to 221, meaning that the weaker speaker has only 4 votes to play with as compared to the Democratic minority. In his election in 2022, why did he run in 2022? Did things get that bad that fast? But he trounced his Democratic opponent by some 30 points. One wonders what kind of wild-eyed maggot will get the seat this time through. The Utah 2nd Congressional District is massive. It takes in most of the western part of the state, all the way from Salt Lake City to St. George, Utah. Yeah, back when he was elected in 2012, he achieved a little bit of notoriety because he collaborated with Elizabeth Smart in helping her write her memoir about her kidnapping. And he's a veteran of the Air Force. And his wife, Evie, was quoted in 2013 in a profile about her hubby and the fact that he would have to be away from home. She said, well, whenever we sacrifice for our God or our country, whether it's in the military or public service or sacrificing for our family, it binds our hearts to them, and then we love our God and our family and our country more. Wow. So it's all strictly transactional then. I think he means that he's quitting, like right now quitting. And poor Kevers. Oh, go away, picture of Todd Starnes. Go away. Well, apparently why? Okay, Matt in San Francisco, Elizabeth Holmes. Why does anyone care? Pick me. She's a white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes, and she wore a black turtleneck. We must have failed her somehow. Lord, yes. Okay, Matt. There was even a reference in the news story I was working from. Gone, and she'll have to wear khaki pants and a khaki shirt, and gone are the days of her black turtlenecks. I hope they'll let her have more than a khaki shirt and a pair of khaki pants. I mean, shoes would be nice. I mean, I'm sure they won't be Christian Louboutin, but yeah. Then again, out in a prison camp, there's not a lot of call for for 4-inch stilettos. Scott says, Elizabeth Holmes, so she ran a scam claiming a drop of blood in her magic analyzer box could diagnose major health issues. Look on the bright side. At least she wasn't hawking voting machines. Yeah, y'all, you know, if she just sold pillows, she'd be great. The funny thing, though, is that there are religious organizations that say that they can do similar things and discover what's wrong with you by analyzing your thetans. Oh, but they're protected by the First Amendment. See, that's where Elizabeth Holmes fucked up. If she had just put it all together and called it a religion, everybody all the way up to our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, would have said, you go, girl. Get your billions. Lee wants to know, where's the original cowbell? Have you interrogated Socrates or Samantha the Studio Serpent? I'm sure the cowbell is liked by all. Well, Kyle doesn't have it. I asked him. He's like, no. And he said, let me out. He's got a several word vocabulary. With Annette over at Margie's, puppy sitting and kitty cat sitting over there. Mostly Kyle. Well, Kyle's pining.
Mom.
Oh, God, I better shut up or I'll make him start. We won't get through the program. But here we are, it's the 30th day of May, and the palace coup continues. Come on, let's you and him fight. Hope it doesn't hurt too little. The feedum carcass is throwing a conniption, and a number of their membership. There's 45 of them all told. See, 45. See, yeah, it's kind of like the Jehovah's Witnesses, only with Trump. 144,045. Yeah. Several of the members of the feedum carcass say they will not vote for the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And some of the feedum carcass members are screaming betrayal, saying that Kevers McCarthy has betrayed them, which means that maybe one or two or three or four, I don't know, it only takes a couple, might file that petition to get rid of the weaker speaker. Darn. And there it is. Speaking to Politico, representing Dan Bishop, a maggot from North Carolina, said,
it is inescapable to me. It has to be done.
Meaning, what he says is inescapable and has to be done is a move to unseat Kevers. And the chair of the feedum carcass is Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. And he said, no, it's not off the table. Throwing out Kevers is not off the table. And of course, the clanny granny is there. She's always going to be there. In short, tomorrow's bill is a bunch of fake news and fake talking points and does nothing to rein in out-of-control federal spending. If every Republican voted the way that they campaigned, they would vote against tomorrow's bad deal. Hey, Lore, you know where your boys are? Just asking. Representing Chip Roy of Dribbling Dick, Texas, said,
I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. Not one. It is a bad deal.
No one sent here to borrow an additional $4 trillion to get absolutely nothing in return.
Hey, dipshit, you got everything you ever dreamed of. We're actually paying for your damn stupid trillionaire tax cuts. The money's already spent, dum-dum. And Chip Roy of Gonorrhea Gulch, Texas, also went on the babble show of the Beckerhead, Glenn Beck. I didn't even know he was still on the air. But Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs said, told Glenn Beck, it's a complete and total sellout. Meanwhile, Andy Biggs from Arizona stand said,
that's one of the biggest abominations since I've been in Washington, D.C., and I've seen a few.
No, I added the last part.
Kevin McCarthy totally failed to deliver. And we're going to do everything in our power to stop it.
Yeah, Kevers, meanwhile, who cannot be having a good time, said, this is the biggest cut in American history that we will vote for. Nancy Mace from South Carolina Stan, who occasionally makes an entirely appropriate noise with her mouth about the bodily autonomy of people capable of becoming pregnant. No, she's going to vote against this legislation. Washington is broken. Republicans got outsmarted by a president who can't find his pants. I'm voting no on the debt ceiling debacle because playing the D.C. game isn't worth selling out our kids and grandkids. Oh, bitch, shut up and go brush your hair. A president who can't find his pants. Really? As compared to who? Nitwit Nero? Who can't walk 15 steps without getting in a golf cart? Who gets winded walking back from the little president's room? Who has never been seen riding a bicycle, unlike Joe Biden, who, you know, does and apparently enjoys it. Over on the progressive left. What left? Representative Pramila Jayapal, whom I like, chair of the House Progressive Caucus, said, we have deep concerns that all of these are in the deal in different ways. Namely, expanding work requirements for food stamps or giving a green light to industrial polluters and drillers and frackers and blasters. But she said, if a majority of Democrats vote for the debt ceiling bill, none of us want the country to go into default. And by none of us, she meant the Progressive Caucus and Democrats generally, because I think it's a safe bet that there's more than a couple of vandals in the maggot party who would just like to burn, baby, burn. Burn it all down. Fuck it. And they're trying to, meanwhile, the maggots in the Freedom Caucus are trying to keep the comfort level at a maximum for the weaker speaker. Scott Perry said, as far as trying to remove him from office,
we'll decide once we've determined the disposition of the bill and the finality.
And over in the Rules Committee, two of the maggots on the committee, representing Norman and, of course, Chip Roy, of Chlamydia cul-de-sac, Texas, they refused to vote for the weaker speaker back during the lengthy process of him trying to fulfill his wildest ambitions. The deal rolls back $10 billion in IRS funding that President Biden got in the Inflation Reduction Act. It was supposed to be used to crack down on the mega rich and corporations that don't like to pay their fair share. And it claws back COVID monies. And it does not get rid of the student loan forgiveness program currently in litigation. But of course, nothing is as much of a fetish object to the MAGAT party as making sure Americans are sufficiently hungry. There is apparently an overhaul to the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that says that there's a limit to how long adults who are 54 or younger and don't have dependent children can eat food if they don't meet the necessary work requirements. Hey, put down that ramen. Sitting there eating up all the good ramen with the fancy flavor boost packets in it. The nerve of you. You don't even have any youngins. Fucking slackers. It right. If they don't meet certain work requirements. I mentioned the clawback of the COVID money, and there's a story that rides conveniently alongside that. You know, at the end of every program, I still suggest that we do everything we can to protect ourselves from COVID-19, because it has not gone away. It has gone, in fact, as Paul from Parts Unknown pointed out, it has gone from pandemic to endemic. It's just something with which we're going to have to learn to try to live. Because Nitwit Nero didn't want to scare America. Well, the one organization most responsible for trying to figure out just what in the hell COVID did and does and is and was is, of course, the Centers for Disease Control. And for the first time since 2019, the Centers for Disease Control has had their annual Epidemic Intelligence Service conference in person. It ran from April 24th to April 27th. It was at a hotel conference place. In the greater Atlanta area. This conference has been taking place on an annual basis for 70 years. Well, maybe it was a little early for their in-person meeting because of the 1,800 people who attended the conference, 10% of them, wait for it, caught COVID. I wish I was kidding. I am not. By April the 27th, the in-person attendees reported testing positive for COVID-19. That led to the organizers to tell everybody, hey, y'all, put your mask back on, would you? And they wound up canceling an in-person training. and they extended the hotel stays of people who needed to isolate and quarantine. And that was just as the conference was ending. And then as the days wore on afterward, they found out, holy shit! By May 2nd, they had found that there were 35 cases. Then the rapid assessment team started doing some surveying. 1,443 people who attended that answered the survey. 80% of the attendees were in person and not virtual. And so, 13% of the total survey respondents said, yeah, I got it. And 52% of this is, oh, I'd be so pissed. 52% of those respondents said, yeah, and you know what? This was my first case of COVID. Percent of the survey takers said they did not wear their mask at the conference because, of course, the maggots and the Bobby Kennedys of the world have gotten their way, and masks are the devil now. And with the transmission levels low, the CDC had said, we're not recommending masks. The goddess of irony, is it? Real witch sometimes. Jesus. As to SNAP benefits, Matt in San Francisco points out, average benefit is $6 a day. A regular bag of chips, not great for you, is $5.59. The richest country on earth, huddled masses, shining city on a hill, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know. That's why I talk about that fancy ramen. They got some up to the little general store right now. Comes with a packet of black garlic oil. Yum, yum. But that goes for like $2.50 a bowl. But you know, the maggots are fiscal conservatives. As long as the people getting the money aren't, you know, millionaires and billionaires. And then, God, this little reckoning, this tally. Now that the Memorial Day weekend is behind us, and this brings another thought to mind, but now that the weekend is officially over, we can now view the butcher's bill. At least 8 states reported a total of 16 people dead and dozens more wounded and maimed from gun violence over the course of the Memorial Day weekend. Let's see. There was a shooting in the Hollywood Beach area of Hollywood, Florida. That was last night. People were gathered along the Atlantic coast up north of Miami. And 2 different groups got into it. All 9 victims are hospitalized in unknown condition. And, well, hey, because it's Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God, some of those 9 may be children. Then there was Friday afternoon this past, where a camera crew from Telemundo Chicago just happened to be there and witness two groups of people shooting at each other on North Avenue Beach in Chicago. There were gunshots, but no injuries in that one. But in Chicago generally, more than 8 people were killed. At least 32 others were maimed, shot, wounded. And just for the purposes of keeping track, on average, the United States of America reports about 57 deaths that are related to guns every day. Two guys got into an argument in Baltimore, and shooting started at 3:30 in the afternoon this past Friday. 5 people got hurt in that one. Non-life-threatening injuries. Still haven't caught the shooter. 20-year-old Iron Byers is in jail in Mesa, Arizona. Byers stands accused of killing 4 people, injuring 1. Iron Byers is, of course, like I said, 20 years old. And a guy. He started shooting Friday afternoon and kept shooting into Saturday. Four counts of first-degree murder. One count of attempted first-degree murder. Being held without bail. Shots fired in Seattle on Saturday. 3 people wounded. Red River, New Mexico. 3 people killed. 5 wounded, including the suspect, at a motorcycle rally. ...26-year-old Anthony Silva is dead of Los Lunas, New Mexico. Randy Sanchez, age 46, of Albuquerque, and Damian Bro, age 46, of Socorro, all dead. And in custody, Jacob David Castillo, age 30, of Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Upon release from the hospital, he'll be booked into the Taos County Detention Center. Hot Restaurant and Lounge in Garden Grove, California, was the scene of an outbreak of Second Amendment freedom Saturday night past. Again, the shooter lost his temper, got into an argument, and then started shooting. Garden Grove Police Sergeant Nick Jensen. My God, there's a TV cop name. Nick Jensen. Sergeant Nick Jensen. Da-na-na-na-na. Dum-dum. Nick Jensen said, there was some type of altercation, so it wasn't someone that walked in off the street and an altercation ensued, and the suspect pulled out a gun and shot 3 victims. There was an unauthorized gathering in Atlanta early Sunday at Benjamin E. Mays High School. A teenager left this earth. When the cops showed up, they found a 16-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy, both of whom had been shot. And the little girl died there shortly thereafter. The boy was taken to a nearby hospital. And then about 11:45 a.m. on Sunday morning, there was a shooting on the Green Line train in the Navy Yard station in Washington, D.C. Metro Transit Police said, unfortunately, despite life-saving measures, The adult male victim was pronounced deceased at the scene. Because the shooter and the victim had gotten into an argument on the train. And the victim, well, then was hit by multiple gunshot wounds to his upper body. And how do you respond to that? Well, there's only one way. Freedom! Freedom! Wolverines! And I'm not making light. But that's just 16 people that Republicans do not give a flying fuck about. Okay? That's 16 people. No maggot could ever even be bothered. To consider. In some cases, hot-headed people who really should not have. Look, these dipshit laws, one of which, I mean, there was a law passed in, what was it, New Jersey? That said, hey, y'all. No guns in bars, okay? And a federal judge said, well, you can't do that.
That violates the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
Even though, as noted again, there's no reference in the Second Amendment to the Constitution to any constitutional right to own a firearm. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. So what I was thinking, with yesterday having been Memorial Day, and with Memorial Day, and by the way, I meant to mention this yesterday. I should have, and I felt bad when I realized I hadn't. Memorial Day is another gift to this country from the African-American community. The first Memorial Day was celebrated, or observed, I should say, was observed in commemoration of Union dead who were black, who had been killed in the Civil War, and their bodies unceremoniously dumped in a common pit by the traitors, the Confederates. And after the war was over, a great mass of people gathered, gave the dead a proper funeral, and the proper rites. And that was the beginning of Memorial Day. So what I was thinking about, bear with me, sorry. Memorial Day is set aside to remember those people who gave their lives over the course of the history of this nation thus far in service to the country in our military. And I wonder if it is time that we expanded the list of those remembered. Specifically remembered. Expand it to include the kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The kids in Uvalde. The people who merely went shopping at an outlet mall in Allen, Texas. The kids who went to school one morning at Covenant Christian Academy in Nashville. Expanded to include everyone who dies in acts of gun violence in this country. Because they are literally dying for an idea. They're not volunteers, but they are dying nonetheless for the second fucking amendment to the Constitution. And they deserve to be recognized as the murdered patriots that they are. Because these numbers would not be this high were it not for the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Because then we could do something about it. So, you know, just a little something to think about. Bernadette, back to Elizabeth Holmes. Nice gig if you can get it. Wow, the chick that thought she was the female Steve Jobs is finally going to jail. The twit that used every square inch of her ultra-white privilege card to stay out of jail is going to have to show up for the next 11 years to the Bryan Federal Prison Camp. Work for 12 cents to a dollar a day, take communal showers, teach a class, no privacy, in a minimal security prison camp. It's a fucking prison, bitch. Yeah, well, I guess I got no sympathy for the chick. Bye, Felicia. Yeah, I'm not exactly eaten up with sympathy for her either. But I would love to understand better the disparity between the treatment of her. And I'm not saying she shouldn't go. I'm saying Steve Bannon should have long since been in the joint, too. And I'd like to know the reason. Which maybe Randy Radar has. She ripped off the wrong people, including former Secretary of State George Shultz. Yeah, him with his little tiger tattoo on his butt. I hate that every time I think of George Shultz, I think of that fact. Elizabeth Holmes, Cynthia in the Bay Area writes, "Hey Robin, hey Cynthia. From my perspective, I'm glad as hell to see her go to jail. If it were up to me, she'd rot there for the rest of her life and not just for the financial fraud. See, she insulted my industry with her crap. I worked in medical diagnostics through most of my career. That was in the 70s, the 80s, and past the mid-90s. I worked in development, and the stuff I worked on had to have FDA approval or else it could not be marketed. In fact, it was like we couldn't walk cross-eyed across the street in a crosswalk without FDA approval, and after reading Bad Blood, I was floored by the shit she got away with. What the hell? But even on top of that, one of her employees, Ian Gibbons, was a co-worker of mine in those days. And he committed suicide because of her. I didn't interact with Ian in my job, but often saw him in meetings that I attended and in the hallways. It's crazy to me that he committed suicide because he was brilliant and yet he let her drive him to that. So yeah, for all of the above, Elizabeth Holmes can rot in hell. Wow, Cynthia. That's awful. And I'm so sorry. That puts an entirely different perspective on it. Yeah, somehow or another, she got past her freshman year at Stanford and decided that she was going to be the next Steve Jobs, I guess. And she was toxic. Maybe those 11 years, and she will still be quite young when she gets out. Might teach her something, a little humilité. She's a horror.
But you know what? In those 11 years at Club Fed, you know what's not going to happen to her? She's not going to be blown away in a movie theater. She's not going to be shot teaching in school. She's not going to be wasted on a subway train. Or murdered outside a bar. Because, see, that's reserved for people who have freedom. I mean, isn't that how it works? Altercation? Matt in San Francisco says, is that what we're calling them now? A gun brings an altercation to a quick resolution. Bit of overkill, if you ask me. A lot of overkill, Matt. A lot. Nick Jensen, Emilio. Nick Jensen is the $30,000 man. We could rebuild him. We have the technology. But it's hardly worth the expense. Yeah. And speaking of rotting in prison, saw this story earlier today via the LA Times. After over half a century in the joint, Leslie Van Houten may actually get out of prison. For those who may not be familiar with her name, Leslie Van Houten was one of Charlie Manson's sycophants, and on his orders, she took part in the Manson family murder spree. California Governor Gavin Newsom had rejected a parole bid from Leslie Van Houten. But lo and behold, the California Appeals Court overruled Governor Newsom. And so she may actually see the outside of a prison. She's 73. She's been up for parole five times since 2016. But both Gavin Newsom and Governor Jerry Brown said no. The Board of Parole hearing said she does not pose an unreasonable risk to public safety and is remorseful. Governor Newsom, on the other hand, said, nah, she's an unreasonable danger. And the judges on the Second Court of Appeals, which sits in L.A., said that the governor failed to account for the decades of therapy, self-help programming, and reflection Van Houten has undergone in the past 50 years. It may yet go up to the state Supreme Court. And she was in on the murder of, by the way, Lino LaBianca and his wife Rosemary. That was August of 1969. She was 19. Van Houten was. She was one of the ones who spread their victim's blood all over the walls. Was it that killing where they wrote Helter Skelter in blood? As to including America's shooting gallery victims in Memorial Day, Lee in New York says, maybe a different day. Forgive me for going to the Bible for this one. Not Memorial Day. That's for those who were in war. I'm thinking of springtime, when we see rebirth as a time to remember what will not grow. Also thinking of the Passover story, the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. Is that any less random than being in the wrong school on the wrong day, at the wrong time? Got a point. Maybe in April? Because, as T.S. Eliot wrote, April is the cruelest month. Curiously enough, a poem about the First World War. Today in January 6th news, a woman named Pauline Bauer was sentenced yesterday to over 2 years in federal prison. You know, hopefully the January 6th domestic terrorists don't get club fed treatment. I don't know. But Pauline Bauer, on January 6th, screamed death threats at Nancy Pelosi as she participated in the terrorist attack. Among other things, she yelled for police to bring Nancy Pelosi to the mob, the terrorists, so that they could then hang Nancy Pelosi. Trevor McFadden, a maggot judge, convicted her of the charges. She was tried before the judge without a jury. McFadden gave her 2 years and 3 months in prison with credit for the months that she's already spent in jail. Prosecutors wanted 6 years and 6 months. But again, Trevor McFadden is a maggot. On January 6th, she was screaming, "They're criminals! They need to hang! Bring Nancy Pelosi out here now! We want to hang her! Bring her out!" And she went all the way from her home in North Pennsylvania to D.C. to do that, and stopped for a Stop the Steal rally in Harrisburg on the way. So she was convicted on all five counts in her indictment. Felony obstruction of the joint session of Congress, among them. Her pettifogger said,
"She genuinely regrets her past actions and doesn't pose a threat to the public." The international spotlight showcasing her at her worst has deeply affected her.
And for anybody trying to tick off your January 6th insurrectionist bingo card, you put, bingo! Yeah, she's a sovereign citizen. And she has papered her court file with nuttery. Now, she told this maggot judge that the court had no authority over her, and she said, "And I don't want any lawyering from the bench." And I guess it was COVID's fault. She ran a restaurant called Bob's Trading Post. And it all went to perdition when the pandemic hit and the lockdowns kicked in. I guess she was oblivious as to who was the president when that happened. It's all a Chinese hoax. Ah, Jesus. Wow, a lot of stuff on this Titanic Tuesday. And we are into the second hour of the program. We have $1,580 in fundraising to go. No, I was wrong. No. Whatever. Anyway, you slice it, we're a goose egg. And it would be great if we weren't. Oh, by the way, now the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings are all upset in Seminole County, Florida. And they're mad at the school yearbook. Lyman High School in the Longwood, Florida area. And Charmon Kraft, a parent of a sophomore, says it's really not relevant to school activities, academics, clubs, and sports. Anything that has to do with a high school experience, these terms and definitions are not appropriate. Because there's a two-page spread in the annual that notes that some of the students in the high school are gay. And it included definitions for things like gender fluid and pansexual, and they're outraged! Charmon Kraft said, I deem this to be pretty mature content. The terms there that Charmon is objecting to, pansexual, aromantic, gender fluid, non-binary, and transgender, and definitions of what that means in terms of attraction for people who are that, which some of the students at Lyman High School are. I'll be so glad when this shit's over. If it ever is. And that, of course, is the million-dollar question. And I guess we missed this in the rundown of the freedom, the various freedoms that broke out. This happened in South Carolina, Stan. Rick Chow, who runs a gas station there in South Carolina, Stan, is facing murder charges. He thought a 14-year-old boy was stealing 4 bottles of water . But the little boy had already put the 4 bottles of water back in the fridge and was running away from the gas station when Rick Chow came out and blasted him in the back. Oddly enough, the Richland County Sheriff, one Leon Lott, said, you don't shoot somebody in the back that is not a threat to you.
Same standard the cops live by.
Yeah, but that's a problem because it's not the same standard the cops live by because, well, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, back when he was just a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge, wrote an opinion where he said it was perfectly okay for the cops to blow away a young black boy who was no threat to them, who was running away. Yeah, you can do that. Maybe it was a dissent. But I mean, that's a-okay. That's fine by Sammy Bad Breath. Because of course it is. Oh God, it gets wearisome. And this is kind of meaningless, I guess, but turns out there's a phony AOC account out there on the platform that's owned by Leon Scum. Among other things, this fraudulent account posts policy statements that purport to be from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And this account has a blue check mark. And Leon Scum has been interacting with the account. The fake account holder claiming to be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has tweeted that she has a crush on Leon Scum. AOC said in a statement, FYI, there's a fake account on here impersonating me and going viral. The Twitter CEO has engaged it, boosting visibility. It is releasing false policy statements and gaining spread. I'm assessing with my team how to move forward. In the meantime, be careful what you see. So now, finally, the account has added parody. P-A-R-O-D-Y, not P-A-R-I-T-Y. To the account name. And so it can now go on and say whatever it wants, just like before. And that genius constitutional scholar Mike Lee. Well, he said. He interacted with the phony baloney account, and didn't realize it wasn't really AOC because the real AOC would definitely tweet that she had a horrible, horrible crush on Leon Scum. Meanwhile, the maggots are saying, oh, that AOC, she just can't take a joke. And I mentioned Clanny Granny earlier, babbling about the debt ceiling deal. Well, she ran over to immediately have a conversation with that guy who isn't in prison, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, racist Bannon, to explain that she's canceling Kevin McCarthy, damn it.
on. So I want an open rule here so we could go to the floor, and that's currently being discussed. I have sent in multiple amendments, as have my colleagues.
Excuse me, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought we won that in the whole deal that was to make McCarthy, you were one of the Magnificent Six. Didn't on that Friday night or Saturday, isn't that part of the deal?
This is
why is Lauren Boebert have to go back and testify on something I thought was a hard and firm part of that deal?
So the whole point of the speaker's race and having a motion to vacate check and balance was because we know at any given time those rules can be suspended. And the House does not have to operate by those rules, that there are ways around those rules. And so this at the speaker's request is what I've heard. This was to be a closed rule with no amendments allowed.
At his request.
That's what I'm told. Yes. The speaker's not told me that directly. But now we have members who are working in the Rules Committee, who sit on that committee, saying, let's look at these amendments and consider opening it up. That's the way it should be. I think that this is a violation of the rules that were made. If it doesn't become an open rule and we get these amendments to the House floor.
What, Edith, huh? In other words, the rules can be suspended. And I guess they didn't know that that was the case. In other words, they got taken to school. All right. Had to have a little help with the ciphering. We were at 1480 coming into the program. And Jessica with a note. In loving memory of Christine Jorgensen, a pioneer in transgender health care, a woman without whom Robin, myself, and countless others could live our lives. She would have been 97 today. Thank you for that, Jessica. And thank you to Will in L.A., formerly of Chicago. Hang in there, Robin. Thank you, Will. So, We're at 1440 now, and we're all squared up. Well, the note, Jude says, subject line, Cynthia. Hearing you, Robin, while reading her email reminded me of the concept of 6 degrees of separation. Usually it's been related to the unsuspected friendships that evolve, yet since she mentioned the connection was from somewhat of a personal distance, it still shocks one, especially when learning that he took his life. Please be well, Cynthia. Warmly, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. let's go here, because it is Titanic Tuesday, and yesterday we had some More on Monday intellect from Rachel Campos Duffy, who got her start in TV on an MTV reality show. And, as far as Rachel Campos Duffy is concerned, there aren't enough guys riding the New York subway killing people.
Backwards, right?
He shouldn't have killed him.
Right, but he didn't set out to kill him.
Exactly.
He set out to subdue a potentially violent threat.
Correct.
I was watching that segment. I saw the guy who said 50-50. And
oh, by the way, Daniel Penny, the accused murderer, has already raised $1.5 million for his legal defense fund. I wonder if has he hired a pettifogger yet?
I thought, wow, that guy definitely won't protect me if I'm on a train and the crazy person was trying to kill me, or attack me, or punch me in the...
Yeah, so you notice that Rachel Campos Duffy has now taken, escalated it. The man that Daniel Penny killed, Jordan Neely, was at worst ranting. He wasn't attacking anyone. He wasn't trying to kill anyone. None of the things that Rachel Campos Duffy is fulminating about. And I guess she's got a little bit of a crush on Daniel Penny.
I'm on a train and the crazy person was trying to kill me or attack me or punch me in the face, which there are plenty of videos of on online of, you know, crazy people punching women in the face and then the men around them doing nothing. And so I think this also, you know, there's a legal aspect
Wait
to
for
this.
It.
There's a really important cultural aspect. I think we live in a culture that already has a crisis of masculinity where so many young people are walking around. They don't know. They're gender confused. Am I a woman? Am I a man? What am I? Am I binary? You know, we saw this on the cartoons that we showed yesterday. You know, there's just a gender confusion. I'll tell you what, I want to live in a society where men are men and men
and sheep are scared.
Understand that their job, part of their job, and it's innate in them, and they want to do it if we encourage it, is to protect women and elderly in a situation like that. That young Marine did that, and that the fact that our.
That young Marine. That accused murderer.
Society in the city might punish him for that. I think there's going to be long-term ramifications
they want
for
to,
us. Women.
What you said is.
Now, like I said, we had some more in Monday stuff from her yesterday, because this is the same Rachel Campos Duffy who said for sure Michelle Obama is going to run for president in 2024. And so how does one find out that there are, quote, plenty of videos online of, you know, crazy people punching women in the face and then the men around them doing nothing? How does she know that? Is she out? I mean, is she out there searching for that? And how many are in a plenty? But, of course, this is the same silly shtick. As, well, masculine man of masculinity and manliness, Josh hauling ass. Yeah, I wonder if he's got a crisis. Because, well, when the maggots attacked the Capitol, we all saw the video accompanied by that wonderful tune, Yakety Sax, of Josh hauling ass. Runner! Yeah, sorry. Little Logan's Run flashback there. Is anyone supposed to believe that Rachel Campos Duffy actually rides the New York City subways? They send a car for her every morning. Really. And there has finally been an arrest in the murder of Eunice Dwumfor. She was a city councilwoman in New Jersey. Mother of 12, a church leader, an EMT, part-time, a business analyst, a black woman, and a Republican. And she won a seat on the Sayreville Borough Council. And Rashid Ali Bynum, age 28, has been charged or arrested on suspicion of first-degree murder in Middlesex County, New Jersey. He knew her from church. Most women know their attacker. She was just sitting in her SUV, and he came and blew her away. I'm sure there will be some kind of horrifying revelation as to why he did what he did. Yeah. Let me check. Matt in San Francisco, gender confusion? People are walking around not knowing if they're a man or a woman. Does this woman have ESP? She can walk by people and read their minds? That person over there is gender confused. How do I know? I can just feel it in my bones. I was never confused. I'll just say that. The murderer protected the shit out of the public from a man screaming, "I'm thirsty and hungry." Didn't their Jesus speak of the poor and the tired and the hungry and said, you know, help them? Jesus can be so... problematic sometimes. Running around talking all that liberal stuff. Oh, and by the way, there is a challenge on the table, courtesy of Ralph's. I'm offering a $25 challenge, fully funded challenge, and Kayla is trying to bite my hand. Kayla, leave Mama alone. Don't bite. Don't. Kayla, kitty, literally, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Now stop that. So Ralph's will match the next $25 that comes in, so that would be fantastic. Thank you, Ralph's. And Annette, like I said, she's fur babysitting this week across the river. The puppy she's well familiar with, but there's a new kitty in the house, little Ayla. And little Ayla is not sure if she likes her grandmother or not. Little Ayla is a tortie, and little Ayla is slowly warming up to her grandma. Well, there's Kyle. Of course there's Kyle. No. No, not right now. After the show. I will. You heard that, didn't you? You heard that. I know. He wants to run around the studio so bad. And don't think he doesn't get to. I've gotten to the point where when he's out, I have to turn off the audio interface so that he can't reprogram it. Kitty cat programmers. They're just... just curiously, in New York asks, Rachel Campos Duffy, when the car arrives to take her to the Fox studio, does she climb into the trunk because she doesn't know which door to use? Quality. We're at the halfway point of the program. Let's run over and see who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm not well. Not well at all.
What's wrong?
Well, I found out this afternoon that Rosalind Carter's been... diagnosed with dementia.
I saw that. 95.
And then you've got the Republicans in the House burbling about how they're going to stop this and stop that. How about we repeal the Trump tax? That'd be $10 billion, you know, $10 trillion a year over 10 years that we could claw back.
That's the kind of clawing back I could get behind.
How about every time Marjorie Trader Greene ends up opening her yap on the floor and saying nothing or something inflammatory, she has to pay $100 in the swear jar, in the congressional swear jar. And at the end of the session, they throw a huge pizza party for everybody in the chamber. I think she'd pay for it all by herself.
I think you're probably right.
Darn it, Robin, you know, as far as, you know, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and the other member of Peter, Paul, and Mary, Please, that Russian accused criminal, Lindsay, if they would stop, just stop. As far as Josh Hawley is concerned, I've got one word for him: Venmo. Yeah. Robin. Christine has offered to pay my bills if we go into default. And she can't really afford it.
We're not going to go into default. I don't think we're going to.
They would like to.
The Republic, make no mistake, Dave, the Republicans would like to. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I think what's going to happen is, let's say for the sake of argument, they did go beyond the 15th. I could see Joe Biden invoking the 14th Amendment at that point. At that point, because...
What alternative would he have?
Yeah. The framers of that amendment were trying to stop their political opponents from decrying the war debt from the Civil War, you know, that dust up in the 1860s, that folks down in, let's say, Georgia and the Carolinas and the Old Dominion decided that they knew better than anybody else, and they couldn't wait 159 years. They had to fucking rush it through right then, but by God, the Confederates are winning now. We should have hanged Robert E. Lee when we had the chance.
I think you're not wrong.
Jefferson Davis.
Maybe dig up Stonewall Jackson and his arm, and hang him dead too. I mean, you know, they tried a dead pope once in Rome, so you know.
He did get shot it all up by his own men. So, I mean, that's something. Although I don't,
you know, North Carolina license plates have "First in Flight" on them as a motto.
Yeah, because of Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, right, but maybe they should change it to "Hey, we shot Stonewall Jackson."
Because we didn't realize that a man in a gray uniform wasn't a Union officer.
Wow, Dave, it was dark.
Then they should have gotten a flashlight. God damn it.
Yes.
Boy, and he was
maybe a torch?
He was kind of a religious. Let's leave the British out of this, Robin. They only have observer status as far as the dust up in the 1850s.
Oh, no, I meant a torch, not a battery-operated torch.
Oh, okay.
I was not using English. Quit that.
But let's say for the sake of argument they did before. I would immediately, if I were Biden, invoke the 14th Amendment and start clawing back some of these tax cuts. And looking over at them and going, no, we're going to fully fund the IRS and they are going to go after tax cheats. And we're going to recover that money. That would put the fear of God into the conservative bowel movement.
Dave, dinner, remember.
I know. We did not give the proper warning to Billable. I apologize, Billable. So let me correct that. Warning, Dave and the Blind is on the air. The meal you may ingest may come back up at any moment.
You're not helping again.
I'm trying, Robin. Obviously I made a mistake, and I'm trying to rectify the situation. And I said rectify, people. I don't want any jokes coming in over the wires?
Yes, let's not.
Let's not say we didn't. All right. But and then you have Herb Braun and Harry Young, my senators. The Young, who describes himself as a conservative Christian, he won't call himself a Republican. Got news for you people, and I feel like I'm channeling my inner Mike Malloy. There's another group that called themselves conservative Christians. It was called the Nazi Party. In Germany.
Yep.
And by the way, Adolf Hitler hated the term Nazi. He preferred National Socialist. But call them what they are. If all these guys do is delay, the minute they go into default, technically, we're already over the limit, but the moment they go into default, Biden should sign an executive order saying, in the event of default, the executive branch is instructed to operate under the terms of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, period. Because the reason for that was that the government needed a mechanism to pay the massive war debt that accrued during the Civil War. And you notice the people that bitched the most about taxes are the Confederate states?
Yeah, that pay the least.
And what happened to, Marjorie not wanting to say the word secession because she could be thrown out of the House for it.
She also can't tell it the difference between that and succession. I think that's the real reason.
Well, one means you pull away from a government. The other one is a lately ended television program. I'm breaking it down for the very simplistic Republican.
Another show that I just could not get into because I hated everybody in it. I don't mean the actors, I mean the characters.
But the characters were so loathsome, yeah.
Felt the same way about Game of Thrones. That'll get me hate mail.
No, I enjoyed the Game of Thrones. But I enjoyed it because...
I just wanted to see the dragons win. Just come in, roast everybody, and live a happy, peaceful dragon life.
Now, that would have been a cool series. It would have been even cooler had they just filmed it from the dragon's point of view. Okay, it's our hatching day. Oh, wow. Look, there's stuff out here, and there's food. And it's walking around on two legs and four legs, and oh, wow. Yeah, I could see that. But the actor who played Tyrion Lannister was one of my favorites because that's a character that had absolutely no fucks to give and absolutely respected nobody but himself.
Yeah.
But that's because they were making fun of his height. And they were degrading him as to what he could do because he was the imp. And every time he ended up making fun of them, he was using his brains, which is a tactic I know well. So for that point, I actually enjoyed the character of Tyrion. And there's been some arguments as to the fact that he's the only one that actually came out ahead in the deal. But as far as these idiots on the right, they're going to do this again. They're gonna start. I guarantee it. They will start an entire year before. We'll barely get done with 2023, and they'll start. Well, we're gonna force them into default. I have my landlord's from Vietnam, and. He said the Republicans want to turn us into China. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, look how little they pay workers. Not purchase. Nike's suppliers in China are paying people below the minimum wage in China and then charging their workers for dormitory space. They've had to put nets up to keep people from jumping off balconies. And of course, realistic burblings that happened when they knew damn good and well what was going on long before that. They would have had to, Robin.
You would think, yeah. Hey, Dave, you're breaking up some, so let's talk again soon and hopefully have better connectivity.
All right.
I hope you have a good evening and hope you can get out of your funk. I understand it. I live in that funk a lot.
Well, I'll try. If I can find a good roasting of Republicans, I'll probably come out of it real easy. Of course, I could always call around to my senators and
no, that's self. That's self abuse. Now quit that. But I got some audio here. I'm going to run in a second that might lift your spirits.
All right, Robin. I'll talk to you.
I've got a right wing blatherer who is all upset about the debt deal, and we all thrive on right wing tears.
Yes.
So, stick around for that. Dave, have a good evening. Say hi to Christine for us, please.
I will. By the way, she's doing quite well right now.
Good, good, good.
So, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care, Dave. Later.
Bye, Robin.
Bye. Some days the phone cooperates and some days it doesn't. If you want to try the stress line, it's open. Skype is open too. Robin, Robyn, Kincaid Horn, one word, KincaidHorn on Skype. If you want to come in via Skype, just send me a contact request. I'll approve it and we'll be off and running. I do. I love this. This is some maggot named John Fredericks. I wonder if he misses Rush, too, like Todd Starnes does. So he had a little bit of a meltdown on air. Oopsie. And he's hurt. He's mad, damn it!
You have to digest the con that was played on us, the lies that were given to us, the gaslighting that was shoved down our throat. How many times are we going to be lied to? And they're still lying now. They're still out there. McCarthy is still out there lying now. It's despicable. Biden and the communists got everything they wanted. We got nothing. When I say nothing, folks, zero. Now, this is unbelievable. We got zero reduction in their $1.2 trillion Inflation Reduction Act. Zero. Oh, we're going to claw it back. We're going to claw this back. We're going to claw it back. Remember that? We're going to claw it back. Claw it. Claw it. They clawed nothing. It's all intact.
This is one of those moments where it would be nice if this was a video program, because the scene of this pasty-faced, doughy old white dude using his hands as claws. We're going to claw it back. We didn't claw anything.
Not a dime is left to cut. They kept it all. They are laughing at us. This is how stupid we are.
He's got a graphic up. An uncapped debt ceiling, $4.5 trillion, $4 to $5 trillion rather. No cuts in spending. A freeze of bloated 2023 levels, post pandemic. Zero reduction in one. And then number six, 98% of IRS expansion of 87,000 jackboot agents left intact. Guy mad about it, John Fredericks.
Zero reduction in new crony energy giveaways. So all their donors, all the Dem donors, all the communist donors, all the Marxist donors, all the gangster bankers, they all got what they wanted. What they need to do is have a motion to vacate. That's got to come the day after this. And I don't care if he survives. Let him survive with Democrat votes. You have to make a stand here. Otherwise, what is the point? This is the biggest, most despicable, most dishonorable, most lying, cheating sellout and cave by Republicans since they started the party. And I've been saying on the show for months, if they cave here to this degree, they're done. And I'm calling right now, every single Republican that votes for this bill needs to get primaried at 24. I don't care if you win or lose. Every single one.
By the way, this is on the rickety network that the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells runs. So, I mean, no mention of the Trump tax cuts there, which is where we've already spent the money. Yeah, oh well. And the other, what was it? Wasn't yesterday. It was last week. We had the story of the 911 call that Lauren Bobblehead Boebert's boy placed when he was being tormented by his sperm donor, Jason. And we had the follow-up of where Lore covered for her soon-to-be ex-husband. Well, now KRDO-TV, an ABC affiliate in Colorado Springs, said that the boy called after a heated argument with his father. And the audio is out there now. Trigger warning, if you have ever dealt with domestic violence, you might want to step away from this. But and I take no joy in this. I play it mainly because Lauren Bobblehead Boebert is constantly running off at the mouth about what a Christian and follower of Christ she is. Of course, needless to say, she isn't.
A 911 call recorded in the town of Rifle is raising concerns over the home of Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. The call for help was obtained through a records request by KRDO, and it captures the Congresswoman intervening on an emergency call made by her son. KRDO News Channel 13's Spencer Socher joins us live in the studio tonight to break down what's on the tape. Spencer.
Bart, the call is initially tough to listen to. Boebert's son, who we're not identifying by name or age, called alleging that he was being physically abused by his father. Later, the congresswoman could be heard telling an emergency dispatcher that her son, quote, doesn't need help.
He's just like throwing me across the house.
That's the voice of Lauren Boebert's son, crying as he calls 911 this past December, claiming his father is abusing him.
I don't know why he got mad. He just started yelling at me, and he started throwing me.
The boy continues, crying hysterically.
Yes, he was throwing me across.
Eventually telling the dispatcher who his dad is.
Jason Boebert, he does this to me so much.
This was phone call one of two. He ends the call by telling the Garfield County dispatcher that he's leaving the main house to walk out to the farmhouse a short distance away. The boy adds that's where the congresswoman was staying, saying his parents were having problems. 9 minutes later, though, Boebert's son calls 911 again. Listen closely to the background.
911. 911.
A voice that sounds like Lauren Boebert shouts, "Get over here. Where are you?" Then the boy recants a portion of his story, telling the dispatcher this time his father was not being physical with him.
All I wanted to say is me and my dad were starting to yell at each other. He didn't really get physical with me.
That's when Rep. Lauren Boebert gets on the line, saying that her son was safe with her.
Me and my dad were over...
Hi. I'm the mom. There was an argument over dinner. I understand you guys got to come and talk to them. I'm down at our second location.
But Boebert says the boy doesn't need help from officers.
Yeah, he had told me he was going to be down at the farmhouse, and I've got him headed that way to help him. He doesn't need help, but they can come here, yeah.
Jason Boebert was not arrested that day in December when officers...
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. But I hear that young man's voice, and my heart breaks. Because it's almost impossible for him to get somewhere that he can be safe. Safe from his father, and safe from his enabling, toxic mother. She has all the maternal skills of a mama catfish. They eat their young, by the way. And it's sort of like Well, didn't we have Rachel Campos Duffy a moment ago, just a few minutes ago, complaining about the crisis of masculinity? That's, I guess, the kind of masculinity that, you know, chokes a mentally ill man to death or throws a teenage boy around the house. I guess that's her idea of masculinity. And Micah wrote in a little bit ago, and she said, Rachel Campos Duffy wants to live in a society where I can be forced to be something I'm not and be punished and ostracized for not being manly enough. Miss me with this. This was my life up through high school in the 90s before this was an issue. I almost didn't survive it. And you think about people like Claudia Conway, Kellyanne Conway's daughter, or Ted and Heidi Cruz's teenage daughter. Or the Boebert boys. And you just wonder what it'll take for them to be safe from their horrible parents. I keep coming back to that poem. Claire sent it along to me. The one that begins, "They fuck you up, your parents do." And the sins of the parents should not be visited upon the children. And you just want them to... Well, you want to hope that it can get better for them. Was Jason Boebert drunk? Like he was when he flipped his dick out in a bowling alley to show the tattoo on it? I don't know. A little gunplay going on outside the Fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. That's always reassuring. And we've entered the third hour of the program. We got down to 1440. There's a $25 challenge on the table, which Ken in Northwest PA says he will meet. and another 25 plus. So that gets us down to 1365. And so, thank you, Ken. Thank you. Sorry about that audio. That poor little boy. Yeah, he's 14. Certainly not a man. But this is the bunch that has the family values, right? Sure they are. Oh, and I mentioned Ralph Norman from South Carolina, Stan, earlier, talking about the how they might come for the weaker speaker. Just going to find out what weaker means. And if the maggots think they can do this and that the Democrats will save his ass, I don't see that. I don't. But there's an area off to the side of the Capitol steps on the House side where they like to hold outdoor pressers when the weather's half decent. And that was the scene of their hissy on the debt ceiling deal earlier today.
Thank you, Andy. I want to thank all of my members behind me that have got the courage to stand up and say no to this bill. Folks, the two factions that are supporting this bill, China, because they're just buying more debt to control America, and the Biden administration, which, as the hearings are showing, is corrupt and compromised to China. And we want to add the credit cards to give him to spend our money.
There's only one problem. The hearings aren't showing that the Biden administration is corrupt with regard to China. The hearings aren't showing that the Biden administration is corrupt with regard to anybody. I'd like to credit Barack Obama for perhaps guiding, while Joe Biden was his vice president, kind of showing Joe how to run a tight ship and keep, you know. But then again, they're Democrats, not Republicans. So they don't see a term in office as an opportunity to steal everything that isn't nailed down.
And as has been said, unlimited debt ceiling and extend it through January of 2025, that's insanity. Who would do that? Somewhere, somebody has got to stop it. This group behind me is willing to do that. I'm on Rules Committee. It's a great committee. We know everything coming through. But, folks, if we can stop it there, I will stop it. There is a reason why 100 Democrats, none of which voted for our initial bill, is now for it. Why is that? It's because they got what they wanted.
Or maybe it's because it would be really bad for the whole fucking planet to let the let the maggots set fire to the global economy. I mean, maybe, possibly, a little bit. Jesus, these mush-mouthed.
And Kevin McCarthy had done a good job speaking the language. His number one slogan is national debt. Is the biggest threat we have to America. That's out of his words. And then to pass this bill. Folks, it's time to go back to the drawing table. It's time for us to say no. And look, I don't buy Janet Yellen's The Sky's Falling. She's moved the X date three times. June 1st, now it's June 5th, and I hear it's June 8th. What gives? Tax.
She's good at her job? She's juggling the nation's finances, trying to protect them against a bunch of fucking Visigoths at the gates? Drunk on stump liquor and playing with fire? But this is they're trying to make us wear masks because they know that Jesus can't see you if he can't see your face, and he can't hear your prayers if he can't see your face if you're wearing one of them satanic masks.
Janet Yellen is not a religion. She's an economist. She's a finance nerd. And I tend to be a lot more trusting of Janet Yellen, and I understand finance, big money, billionaires, etc. But I tend to trust her more than I do some guy who probably last night was skinning a possum.
Revenues are going to be coming in. We're not going to default. We're going to choose. They're going to say this. Let's call their bluff on it. The best deal is no deal. The time you get up and walk away from the table was when Biden spent 97 days.
And Chip Roy from Dribbling Dick, Texas, is back there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, yucking it up and ha 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 ha. I count 7 people in this group, and that's enough. That's enough to fuck things up for Kevin McCarthy.
Dithering in Japan, and God knows where else he went. And now, all of a sudden, at the last minute, it's an insult to get a 100-page bill and be asked to decide on it on the spot.
That's an insult. You know what we need to do? We need to show what an insult is by going down there to Charleston Harbor and taking a few pot shots at Fort Sumter like our heroic forebears did. That'll show them. I hope the American people, and why do I continue, have enough common sense to see just how dangerous and stupid this all is. It's a lot to hope for. And yet, hope I do. Three clean Democratic debt ceiling raises under Trump, but now the Republicans want to be deadbeats. That's what Randy Radar says, and Randy Radar is right. Back to Lauren Boebert's boy. Jude says, I agree with you, Robin. The tone of the young fella needing to call 911 was tense, pleading for safety. There are countless numbers of us who have traveled this painful path. Indeed, the family values destroyers are now controlling our Congress. God help us wherever she is. Amen. Amen, Jude. And they don't talk about anything that isn't a product of their relentless hatred. Nitwit Nero put out a video. By the way, courtesy of Joy in Ann Arbor, who is presently in Texas and binging on Bluebell ice cream. Hi, Joy. A new term for Nitwit Nero, narcissiphilis. You have no idea how many times I practiced to say that right, narcissiphilis. And it is not easy. Don't try that at home. Well, narcissiphilis, the spirochetes are apparently singing each to each betwixt his ears. The shrieking must become deafening sometimes, and I complain about having tinnitus. But now he's, if he's president again, he's just going to unilaterally amend the Constitution. Really. So he's, look, the people who work for him know what the maggot fetish objects are. And the maggots hate brown people, Spanish-speaking people from south of the border, more than they hate anybody else on earth, I think. Their hatred is palpable. Their hatred is what motivates them. And so, making his video today, he declared, under Biden's current policies,
Even though these millions of illegal border crossers have entered the country unlawfully, believe me, all of their future children will become automatic U.S. citizens. Can you imagine?
It's like he just found out.
They'll be eligible for welfare, taxpayer-funded health care, the right to vote, chain migration.
And you know, you say chain migration, and the little pink, doughy, pasty ears of all the maggots perk up as they sit there with clutching their Mr. Meth Pillow pillows. Chain migration? I don't even know what that is, but if he don't want it, I don't neither. It's probably communist or something.
And countless other government benefits, many of which will also profit the illegal alien parents.
Making a point to use the phrase illegal alien so that they won't think that he's gone all woke. So then this, and the stupid, it hurts us.
As part of my plan to secure the border, on day one of my new term in office, I will sign an executive order ending automatic citizenship for the children of illegal aliens.
What he is talking about is commonly referred to as birthright citizenship. You are a citizen when you are born in this country. And it's part of the 14th Amendment.
As part of my plan to secure the border on day one of my new term in office, I will sign an executive order making clear to federal agencies that under the correct interpretation of the law, going forward, the future children of illegal aliens will not receive automatic U.S. citizenship.
There's no interpreting. It's the law. At least until our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties get their hands on it. You'd like to dream that even they would have a problem with it. So, the question is, do we think he actually thinks this? Or do we think he knows he can't, but knows that his followers are too entirely damn stupid to figure it out for themselves? That's ultimately the question. Because you cannot abrogate a provision of the Constitution of the United States by executive order. I mean, we've kind of found that out a lot over the, going all the way back to the Clinton administration. But it does at least point out what a clear and present danger he really is. And, of course, every Republican considering the presidency is a clear and present danger. And back to the weaker speaker. McCarthy is making mumbling mouth noises. Oh, by the way, Ralph asks a good question, going back to Lauren Boebert's kids. What will happen to the Boebert grandchild? Well, that poor baby is going to grow up with Clanny Granny around her, and it's not going to be good. So, you know, Clanny Granny's going to be a grandmother at 36, so she'll probably be a great-grandmother at 52. and a great-great-grandmother at 68. Sorry, I'm doing a little ciphering. But that's true. One worries. But anyway, the weaker speaker is threatening to charge the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, with contempt. Contempt of Congress. He said it on the Fox and Fiends this morning. He says Christopher Wray isn't cooperating enough with the bullshit investigations. James Comer, Cornpone Comer, over at House Oversight, accused the FBI of refusing to comply with a subpoena demanding that the agency produce internal documents related to the Biden family's business dealings with foreign entities. Well, what if you don't have any? What if they don't fucking exist? You can't turn over what you don't have. And you know, the maggots are fulminating about things that aren't real. On Fox and Fiends, the weaker speaker said, "Today is the deadline, so let me not just tell you, let me tell Director Christopher Wray right here, right now." Because, you know, the FBI director gets up and watches Steve Ducey and Brian Kilmeade and Rachel Campos Duffy in the morning. "If he misses the deadline today, I'm prepared to move contempt charges in Congress against him. We have jurisdiction over this. He can send us that document. We have the right to look at that, Republicans and Democrats alike in that committee. And if he does not follow through with the law, we will move contempt charges against Christopher Wray and the FBI. They're not above the law." You can see, Cornpone Comer is having some bad days and bad weeks. You know, he keeps losing witnesses. He can't come through with the crap that he swears is real, but is actually just the fulminations of his thin gray settlings that slop around between his ears and pass for brains. Back to Janet Yellen for a minute. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Hell yeah, I trust Janet Yellen. She's got grandma vibes. And when she sits for hearings before House Republicans, they absolutely brutalize her. It's like they're, well, they are beating up on a little grandma. She can hold her own, but I cringe every time I watch." I think the cringing, yeah, sometimes worse than others, but the cringing is just part of the process. Speaking of cringing, you might recall I went down to Atlanta for a meeting last fall. And during that meeting, one of the most moving things I have ever seen was a short film about the struggle to stop the barbaric, inhuman practice of shackling women who are imprisoned, pregnant, and in labor. There are horror stories out there. Women giving birth on frigid concrete floors in filthy conditions. Well, now, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis has declared that, because he's trying to make himself look somehow different from Nitwit Nero and not Nitwit Nero's weird little kid. Monkey Up DeKlantis is calling for the repeal of the bill, the law, that forbids shackling pregnant prisoners as they give birth. Uh, because the cruelty is the point. So over on Newsmuck, a maggot named Doug Collins, you probably remember his name, a maggot from Georgia, went after Monkey Up for that claim, because the effort to stop the shackling of pregnant women actually began in Georgia. And that's what that little short film was about. I sometimes think Monkey Up has no idea what's about to hit him, because they're just getting started.
Differentiate himself. And the sad part about it is he doesn't seem to be knowing how to do that. I mean, one of his first differentiation was he said he would repeal the First Step Act, which, by the way, I know a little bit about, because it was my bill in Congress that President Trump signed, that was actually the first piece of true criminal justice reform that has actually lowered recidivism rates, gave our criminal justice system a boost, and made it something that is safer for our communities. And he doesn't even seem to know it, because he voted for it while he was in Congress. And it even had a provision that actually had where we were shackling women while they were giving birth in federal prison. I guess Ron DeSantis still thinks they need to be handcuffed while they're giving birth. You know, look, he can overcome this, but he's got to get his facts straight. He needs to know that he voted for bills. So these are the kind of things people are going to look at. Does he just really running for president, or is he actually differentiating himself from President Trump, who, as Hogan said, had a massive lead?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say that the guy is right, but he kind of is. And that is a meaningful and decent piece of legislation, even though it happened during the maggot insurgency. And the fact that he voted for it when he was in Congress. Wow, but now not shackling pregnant women while they're giving birth is woke! DeSantis, shackle the pregnant women. And the funny thing is, it's probably a draw for some of the Republicans. Yeah, Marvelline, I tell you what, we need to get rid of that law, even if Ron DeSantis is voted for it the first time. I think Trump's gone woke on us, honey. I know, Emery. Hey, you know what? Maybe they could be on the ticket together, and they could shackle the pregnant undocumented immigrants whose babies are not going to have birthright citizenship. Oh, Robin. Shut up. Stop that. Don't even let the goddess hear you. And because nothing is ever simple, when the vote does come up for the debt ceiling bill, and I'm presuming that it will, the Democratic side will be down one vote. Because Angie Craig, a three-term congresswoman from Minnesota, tripped and fell yesterday while she was doing yard work, broke and dislocated her ankle, and just saying that makes my stomach flip. She was diagnosed with a bimalleolar fracture and a dislocated ankle. And she's supposed to have surgery on Thursday, and the surgeon said, listen, don't fly before yet the surgery, don't fly for a little while after the surgery. So Representative Craig will miss votes in Congress this week related to the bipartisan budget agreement. Compare this with that maggot in Florida who fell off his ladder. Now, Angie Craig was probably still sober when you, Representative Craig looks forward to getting back to work for the people of the 2nd District as soon as possible. Yesterday, on the program, I mentioned little 11-year-old Adarian Murray. The best cop in town showed up and immediately shot the little guy in the chest. Well, the family has filed a lawsuit in federal court against the city of Indianola, Mississippi, Stan, and best officer in town, Greg Capers. The law firm representing the family said the lawsuit alleges negligence, excessive force, and violation of the boy's constitutional rights. And Carlos Moore, the lawyer, said, I think they shot first and asked questions second. He doesn't appear to be a man or anything. He's a 4'10" little boy. Carlos Moore went on speaking to Good Morning America and said, with living in the South, Mississippi especially, sometimes you feel that you can trust the police a little more when they're your own color, your own race. But now this man, this young boy, would never trust law enforcement again. And how sad it is to say that there's good news out of all of this, because the cop shot him, the little fella, in the chest, but he didn't manage to kill him. He just collapsed his lung and took a hunk out of his liver. A little boy who had his arms up and was following his mama to stay safe came around a corner and the best cop in town put one right in his chest. Poor little fella. Poor little guy. Well, I hope he gets a settlement out of it that'll send him to not Harvard or Yale, but somewhere. Send him to a really good college and give him a good life. Little guy's got a beautiful smile. He's got a long road to healing. And let's see. Yeah, by the way, with the this is very, very nearly a 3-hour Phil Robster. Thanks to Dave for checking in. I guess we could talk a little bit about the drone strike that Ukraine says they did not do against Moscow, and it's kind of pretty believable. In a way, when I woke this morning to the news that drones had struck in Moscow, didn't do a hell of a lot of damage. It was more of a symbolic thing than anything else, I guess. But the first thing I thought of was Jimmy Doolittle's raid on Tokyo. Wasn't long at all after Pearl Harbor when the brass came up with a plan to launch Army Air Corps bombers from aircraft carriers that could carry just enough fuel to bomb Tokyo, provide a huge morale lift back home. The crews of the planes had to ditch, struggle to survive. But the point had been made that Japan was not going to just sit there and be able to avoid the home islands being attacked. This felt a little like that. And it did have an effect, and people are having a shit fit in Russia. Meanwhile, Kyiv has endured the heaviest drone attack since Russia started the war. It would be nice if the news stories I see could mention that. In the one I'm looking at, it says Putin framed the Moscow attack as a response from Ukraine after Kyiv suffered the largest drone attack since the start of the war Sunday, the day it marked the anniversary of its founding. Well, okay. But since the start of the war seems to underdescribe the situation a bit now, doesn't it? Oh, who knows who started it? No. Since Russia started the war. Putin told TASS about 10 hours after the drone attack,
glorious Moscow air defense systems worked satisfactorily, but there is still something to work on. I am not so much worried about that as the attempts to get a response from Russia. That appears to be goal. They provoke a mirror response from us. We will see what we will do about that.
A former speechwriter for Putin, Abbas Galyamov,
said today's raid on Moscow somewhat equalized the situation between the capital and Belgorod. The inhabitants of the latter will not be so offended now. The population of the former will not care a little less.
And then, Evgeny Prigozhin, who has been running his mouth a lot, and I'm frankly surprised he's still alive, once known as Putin's chef. He runs the Wagner Group, you know, the mercenaries that threw Russian bodies at bullets, guys who had been released from prison on the premise and promise that, well, if you can survive this, you don't have to go back to prison. Hint. You will not survive this. Prigozhin is pissed. He was mentioning a part of Moscow that's very popular among the oligarchs, the wealth class. And he cussed a lot.
when he said, the fact that they're applying to Rublyovka, to your home, to hell with it. Let your houses burn. And what do ordinary people do when drones with explosives crash into their windows?
And I don't know what effect this has, because Prigozhin previously said that Putin is fucking things up so badly, and the defense ministry in particular, that this might not just cause them to only lose the war, that it could very well cause Russia to have another 1917. And that in turn is not a fun thing to contemplate. Oh, sure, Pooty hanging by his heels from the light standard at a gas station in Moscow. It has a certain ring to it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get all butch like Lindsey Graham does. But there's still a nuclear power. And the Arafat rule is always in effect. Oh, we got to get rid of Yasser Arafat, the Israelis said, and they did. And look what they got after. The Arafat rule is out there everywhere. You know, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. But if this starts happening on a regular basis, and if it starts happening effectively, suddenly the Muscovites, who do not want to send their precious sons to fight Putin's stupid war, although they won't say publicly that Putin's war is stupid because they like being alive, what Prigozhin is arguing for is that they have skin in the game, as the saying goes. Meanwhile, Kyiv has been hit 17 times this month by drone attacks and other forms. The National Security Council spokesman said, today, as a general matter, we do not support attacks inside of Russia. We've been focused on providing Ukraine with the equipment and training they need to retake their own sovereign territory, and that's exactly what we've done. The mayor of Moscow, Sergei Sobyanin, so the drones caused minor damage to several buildings. And two people sought medical attention. No serious injuries. But again, the emotional injury is what matters. Whoever sent those drones did not think they were going to bring Mother Moscow to its knees with, you know, 5 or 10 drones. It is, in fact, the horror. The horror. And this cute little moment. Peter Ducey, Nepo baby over at Fox News, gets to babble his questions at President Biden because he's the Fox News TV radio Rwanda White House correspondent. So, the President of the United States was taking some questions, and Peter Ducey came up with a real dandy.
All right. Did you see that Ron DeSantis said that if he became president, he would pardon Trump? Where are you on the idea of president pardoning Trump?
And Joe just looks at him, kind of the way you would look at a... Well, I don't know what. He just gets this big old grin across his face and raises his hand, just like, girl, bye.
Yep, it was...
I'll see you guys. And then this. It was hard to hear, but great question. And the way, because it wasn't a great question. It was a really stupid question because Peter Ducey is stupid. Little Nepo baby. I'll see you guys. Great question. You know, which is better than looking at Peter Ducey and saying, you fucking moron. They actually pay you to do this? You get money for this, do you? Really? Great gig if you can get it. Okay, this is some cultural stuff that I don't even remotely understand. Because I'm an old. There is apparently a band called Paramore. And I've never heard anything they've done that I'm aware of. But their lead singer is Hayley Williams. And I guess this is a thing, or it's becoming a thing. There's an adjacent music festival. That's just what it's called, the Adjacent Music Festival. It takes place in New Jersey. And Paramore was on stage, and Hayley Williams, behind the mic, said, if you vote for Ron DeSantis, you're fucking dead to me. Because she and the band have been outspoken. They have been upfront. They have been unmistakably supportive of the LGBTQ community. And among other things, she spoke out against the various drag bands. And there at the Adjacent Music Festival, she said, I'm very fucking comfortable talking politics. If you vote for Ron DeSantis, you're dead to me. Hon, how about adding in Nitwit Nero, please? Because I'm pretty sure she's not a fan of his either. Now I have to look up Paramore and Hayley Williams and find out if they're awesome. And a little bit of an update. Governor Colonel Tank Reeves of Mississippistan, where the cops shoot 11-year-old little boys in the chest. Well, Colonel Governor Tank Reeves has made a promise. He told the people of Mississippistan that he would give away campaign donations that came into his campaign, that came from anybody who was charged with ripping off welfare money in the ongoing single largest public corruption case in the history of Mississippi stand. This goes back to arrests that were made of the former director of Mississippi's welfare agency and four others. By the way, the others were, it was a former Mississippi Department of Human Services director, John Davis, former wrestler, Brett DiBiase, and four other people were indicted and arrested. Among other things, the money was stolen and used to pay DiBiase to teach drug abuse classes in Mississippi, which would, on its face, seem nominally realistic, except if it weren't for the fact that at the time he was supposed to be teaching those drug abuse classes in Mississippi, he himself was in a high-end rehab program in Malibu. Also indicted was Nancy New, owner and director of the Mississippi Community Education Center and New Learning Resources. Her son, Zach New. Nancy New. Latimer Smith and Ann McGrew. Curiously, Brett Favre is nowhere on this list. It's part of, well, at least adjacent to the same scam. So, Nancy and Zach knew, and their accountant got a contract from the TANF program, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, and they shipped it to DiBiase. And it was, of course, a block grant, which Republicans love because they're supposed to help people who need help. And Republicans always wind up using block grants for their buddies, their cronies. And so, with all of that in mind, Governor Colonel Taint Reeves said, "Anybody give me any campaign contract, I'll give it all back." He had previously said, "Well, some of the people we now believe were involved in the former director's apparent criminal schemes gave money to our campaign. I can tell you right now, anything they gave to the campaign is going to be moved to a separate, untouched bank account. Anything they gave the campaign will be there waiting to return to the taxpayers and help the people it was intended for. If that don't happen, that money will go to a deserving charity. But I don't want a campaign to hold on money to the second longer than we asked to." Nancy and Zach knew, they so knew, they both pleaded guilty. And it turns out that Colonel Governor Taint Reeves got $2,500 from Nancy New and $6,000 from Zach. And, well, now he's gone all quiet, and the untouchable bank account apparently doesn't exist. And it turns out Colonel Governor Taint Reeves made a campaign ad where he was speaking at a student at a learning center that Nancy New run. ran, getting lost. And the Public Service Commissioner, Brandon Presley, who's running for governor, said, "This once again confirms Tate Reeves is the most corrupt governor in Mississippi history." Which is probably true. And is saying a whole lot, considering Mississippi and all that. And hey, we are down to 1315. Thanks to Shan. Thank you, Shan. Use this toward the challenge. We just came out of the pandemic. We need a recession like we need a hole in our heads. I knew the weaker speaker wouldn't let his terrible caucus default the country. He's an R, but he's not stupid. There we go. Precisely. Thank you, Shan. Thank you so much. So, 1315. Getting closer. And, let's see, 115 would get us down to being caught up to the end of Thursday. Thank you so much. Randy, poor Randy. Randy Radar says, "I've been putting on at least 10 pounds from this debt ceiling thing. So I've been scarfing down entire bags of potato chips, and I can't get my late night fix since the writers are on strike." Oh. Well, at least there's some new. There's still some new content that's out there. I've got a. If you've never watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it's at an end. And you could binge the daylights out of that. Of course, we all know how I feel about Ted Lasso. I got me a fresh box of tissues, and I would be watching it tonight, but I promised Annette that I will not watch it without her. This is the final episode. Or at least that's what they say. And I have no idea how they're going to wrap up all their loose ends. And I need Hannah Waddingham's character, Rebecca Wilton, to find that Dutch guy she met a few episodes back. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So that's pretty much the program. Titanic Tuesday was indeed Titanic. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in and helping. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I'll most likely be here tomorrow. Maybe I can get one of the folks to call in from the Dave Chappelle protest. That would be great. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Never did see if we had any moderating going on today. No, apparently not. That's cool, though. Y'all know how to behave yourselves. Okay, I got some Paramore to listen to. Thank you. Anatole says, "Paramore is decent." They're woke! Anyway, thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Please like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you take it. And I need somebody to let me know. I reloaded the Friday podcast because it was corrupted the first time it went up. And I just need to know if it works now. Thanks. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. and a proud union shop. Stay safe, y'all. The hell? Somebody's got the Tannerite out. Do stay safe. That CDC meeting should be a lesson to us all. If you're around maggots, wear your mask. Get your booster. Whatever you got to do to get your booster. If you're not fully boosted, get that way. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. And if a Christian lady from Colorado comes down the street towards you saying, y'all can come. I know you got to, but he don't need no help. He's 14 years old, and he's got to learn to be a man. I'll avoid her like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.